There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Deirdre O'Kane podcast with SJ and Eva B. We are a three-way Zoom podcast from London, Dublin and Madrid. And thanks for listening.
Are they new glasses?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Got glasses for the telly.
Oh, I love them.
They're gorgeous.
They weren't expensive at all. Unfortunately, they're not very focused. Is that what they're called? Very focused. Yeah. I don't know what word it is.
Very focused. They don't work, but they look good.
Now, so you're wrecked, Eva.
I am. I didn't have a great night, so.
One of those nights of the small children.
Yeah. So if I'm not that articulate, just, you know.
Well, I'm never articulate, so we'll be well matched there.
Oh, how are you doing? You've had a... How was it, exciting and fun?
Oh, yeah. Jesus, the joy of going back to work. Honestly, it's such a lovely job. I mean, it's a short job. I only have like a 5-day shoot or something, but oh, just to be in a massive venue, like we're shooting in the Three Arena, the set is enormous. The crew is enormous. And therefore, there's a bit of money. Do you know when there's a bit of money?
Yeah.
Like there's budgets. And small budgets will break your heart. You'll still, it could be the best work you've ever done in your life. Yeah. And there's no money anywhere to be seen. And this, it's not off the charts budget, but it's a nice one. Like there was a hamper in my dressing room, like a really nice hamper.
Yeah.
Do you know, now when the did perks. I last, when did perks. I last get a hamper in my dressing room? I couldn't tell you. It's been years. You know, there was a blanket in it and a candle.
Oh, very
like a,
nice
like
hamper.
A wool and cashmere blanket.
Oh, Jesus. A candle. Not just some, like... A bottle of wine and some Smarties.
No. A bit of body wash, a nice Voya box set, a Green Angel box set, the candle, the blanket. Now I was particularly happy with
it.
I had a chair that needed covering, so that's done.
Reupholstered your house as well. Amazing.
I wouldn't say anybody loved the hamper as much as me. It was such an L one. Like it was just like, oh, delightful. And then there was flowers. Flowers arrived, you know. From the company, you know, it's just lovely. Now, I suspect it was all for Boy George, but I also had to get one because I'm one of the judges.
Listen, ride on Boy George's coattails. If you get a blanket out of it.
Completely.
I certainly will.
Good. How's the judging side of things?
Well, as I said to someone, I've been judging all my life, so...
You judging me.
This is not hard.
It's coming very naturally to you.
You're finally getting paid for it.
Yeah. Well, okay, listen. We're actors, right? How much have we been judged in our lives?
Oh.
I mean, think about it, right?
So much.
Yeah. 30 years, essentially, of... putting yourself out there for a part, for a job, for whatever, self-taping, taping, auditioning, in the room, not in the room, whatever.
And then you get the job and then you're being judged on how you did the job.
Precisely. The judging never stops.
Never stops.
So to be on the other side of it is...
Delightful.
Yeah, delightful. And I'm very mindful of trying to be a constructive critic. I'm doing my best to be fair and kind and all those other words that you can think of.
So the new glasses was for the telly then?
So the new glasses, I thought if I'm writing and looking up, I can't be in my Specsavers falling apart off to the side with the one bar on them. So I ran into Ace and Tate in town to get a pair. So this is what I came up with.
You like? Really, they're sexy. Gorgeous.
And I refuse to pay, you know, above a certain amount for glasses. I think 100 is my limit. And I'm like, because you know, you lose them.
Yeah,
you lose them.
They get scratched.
You break them. They get scratched. It's just not worth it, right?
Yeah.
You can't do it. Some people are forking out over 200, 300 quid for glasses. Sunglasses. I just can't spend that money. I don't understand money on sunglasses, as in like 200, 300, or handbags.
No, I've never got into that whole handbag thing. Well, also because first and foremost, they're not affordable to me. Like, they're like people spending hundreds of pounds on a handbag. But it's if like, they that's the, fucking ridiculous.
But Eva, if they were affordable to you, would you go there? Because I don't think I would.
No, I guess maybe I'm just not a handbag person. No, I have like a big massive tote that I use most days to chuck everything into, and one small little brown leather handbag. Yeah. It's a really nice leather, not expensive. I'm not a blingy bag person, bag person.
But also, you know, right, that if you go on your holidays to Spain or Italy, whatever, you're going to pick up these little cute little leather satchels, crossover body things. I do like a nice bag, but I know I don't have to pay a lot for a really nice bag. So you are paying for Chanel,
but Mulberry.
But
my sister, you know, she was an air hostess for British Airways for years and years and years.
As was mine.
Well, she just finished last year in the midst of the pandemic, but that's another story. But one of the big perks of her job, she's so generous and she loves handbags, but not the designer ones. So she would go to Hong Kong and she would go to the place where they would do all of the fakes. So she would basically come back with, you know, with Mulberry handbags, and you put in your order, right? So I would go to the Mulberry website and look at the one that I liked and say, oh, I really like that one. Off she went to Hong Kong, got the exact one. And then when I was starting my new job in LA, I walked in with this bag and it was the first thing that was noted.
Ah, so it worked for you.
It fucking worked. And nobody said anything until we were friends, you know, and then suddenly it was like, it was the first thing I noticed about you when you walked in was your bag. Like, it's a rip off.
That's really interesting, because I wonder, did it go some way to getting you the job?
No, not at all. No, I had the job already. This was okay. Like after getting the job, this is with other people that I was working with. And so Anne-Marie used to get us all of these.
But here's the thing about those fakes, right? So there are fakes and there are fakes. There are those ones where you put your order in. They're proper. They're leather, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're the same. They're the same. Sure. Yeah. So there might be like a little difference in the stitching somewhere, but it's very hard to detect the difference. So the story I heard when we were filming in Vietnam was that there are some very, as you know, the high-end posh shops are all on the one street. And of course, in Vietnam, they're absolutely brilliant at the knockoffs in these countries. I mean, they're brilliant tailors. They're brilliant at all that stuff. And so they make these copies that you cannot tell the difference. And apparently an awful lot of the high-end shops, the staff, they take the real deal, in go the fakes. And apparently many, many people have spent thousands on Chanel bags, Hermes bags, not knowing they have bought the fake. Yeah. And then they've sold the real deal, somewhere online whatever for five times the price.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've just Googled the most expensive bag ever sold. It got sold at an auction. It was a crocodile Hermes Himalaya encrusted with 10.23 carats of diamonds. And it went for £293,000.
Just stupid. Just stupid. Who bought
and it's
that?
Rank.
Who bought that?
I don't know.
And you can't leave your house with it because you're going to be mugged within 5 minutes. I was, it's an interesting psychology as well, isn't it? Because for us as well, we've always had times in our lives when we do have money and when we don't have money, because by the very nature of our work, we're either working and being well paid or not working and really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how I've spent money. I look at the odd item and the odd painting I bought over the years when I was in the money, and I'm going, Jesus, Mary Joseph.
Oh, I know.
What was I on when I bought that?
Yeah.
What was I on when I paid that for those shoes? So it's easily adapted, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's true. When you're flahoolic, you're like, oh, sure, listen, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Every bit of art that's in my house, and I have bought some nice art.
But that's art. I think that's different. It is. That's not like buying, spending on a, you know, handbag or a pair of shoes, a bit of art on your wall. That's an investment. That's different. That's a shit art.
I think most of it has held its value. It might even be worth a bit more. Some of them I think are worth a little bit more. they were all bought pre-children. There was no art bought after children. And they were all bought while I was drunk.
True.
Because what happened was every bit of art that's on the walls in our house, I bought jarred because I was at some festival, had a fancy lunch with wine and stumbled into a gallery and went, I love that, I'll have it.
That's the funniest thing. So we've been here for 4 years and we haven't bought a thing. Just the basics, whatever we need, you know, we kind of laugh at the fact that we have for 4 years, we have needed a can opener. Now you'd think it's a can opener, but most of the cans come with those easy opening.
Yes.
Right. But every now and then you'll buy a can that doesn't have the easy opening thing. And so what do you do? I go to Ellie's, his multi-tool. He's got a multi-tool that you bring for camping.
That's hilarious.
Hilarious. I'm like, do you think we could put it on the list? Anyway, we never did.
But now I know what your housewarming gift will be when you move to Ireland. I'm going to buy you a can opener.
But it's funny because
You were going to say that lovely cashmere throw you got.
No, darling, I have a chair that needed covered. I told you.
One day where we went and we had our cultural Friday. So we went to the museum, had a little bit of chocolate, and we were in a fine state. And we were walking home, and we went into this gorgeous furniture shop in the neighborhood. And two of us walked in, and Ellie called me over. He's like, Sarah Jane, you gotta come over here. And he's sitting on a chair. Now it's a basic kitchen chair, but it was kind of comfy, and I sat on the other one, and we were both like moving, going, oh yeah, oh this is lovely. And of course Muggins here goes, we'll take the two of them, talk about paying over the price of what we should have
considering paid. You wouldn't buy the can opener. It's quite the gesture.
Yeah. This is the point. I'm like, we need these chairs. We need them. And so off we, they were delivered the next day, delighted with ourselves.
Now what's happening, darling, with the chairs now that you're moving?
Giving them to my friend Christina. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
Parting. You're not bringing the chairs?
Not at all. What?
They couldn't go in a box, no?
No, no, the chairs, you pass them on. No, 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 no.
Oh. Yeah, she's amazing, isn't she? That's an amazing... But also, can I just go back to you haven't bought anything for 4 years? How have you got that discipline, love? I just don't know how.
Because
throws and cushions and candles, I mean, I never stop buying them. It's out of control, actually.
Because every year was always, we could be leaving this year. You could be leaving this year.
Like even with that, there's some things that you'll go, well, I'll leave them behind,
It's true. And I was about to start buying throws. I kept thinking of you saying, you know, cushions, candles and throws. Paint, candles, cushions and throws. And I was saying to Ellie, paint, candles, cushions and throws. And we have lovely candles. That fills me with such joy. You know, like,
I'm going to come back to candles in a minute.
Yeah, with the really nice candles. I don't care. That is my luxury. Flowers and candles. When I come into the house, I may not have cushions in the throws, but if I have beautiful candles in the bathrooms, in the hallway, flowers on the tables, that gives me the kind of pick me up that I need. And the cushions and the throws. I see the sofas to begin with. If the problem is in the sofas, you know, I needed to cover the sofas because they're not ours. They were the landlord's. Yeah. So I really needed to do a complete overhaul on the entire
house. So it's too much.
It's just too much. You know, you're buying some cushions, but it's like dressing.
Mutton dressed as a sofa. That's the same.
Mutton dressed as a sofa. It's just, there's too much. You can't, I couldn't, nothing was going
to
help.
No, you would have had to buy four throws and eight cushions. And then
it's over the top. And then what are you going to do with it? You know? Yeah. So we bought a couple of prints in the museums. Those things fill me up as well. You know, prints of paintings that I love to see in the Prado or the Reina Sofia.
So you have those and you can pack those nice.
Those are in the boxes. Those are coming. Yeah.
Good, good. Great.
But yeah, the candles, though, that's it. When people ask me, what do you want for your birthday? Give me money for a candle.
Well, I have to say, the candles give me joy. Yeah. I have candles going.
Can I let you in on a little secret?
I know this.
I know this as well. Is this to do with Ross?
It is.
Did I tell you already?
Yeah, of course he told us. We know all about it.
Did he?
Yeah.
He's getting his own candle.
Oh, no.
No.
was going to say.
I thought it was because he gets candles all the time from all his clients.
Oh, no, no.
No, no. I thought it was.
No, that seems to have stopped, actually. We haven't had a freebie candle, and I can't tell you how long. I don't know.
Because of COVID,
I think he's
probably.
He used to do trades, I think, with people who were, were work for certain candle companies.
Oh, right. That's what I was talking about. No,
he is, as part of his, he's sort of not constantly, but he's gradually adding to his range. He's got his supplements range and his healing patches, and he's just brought out a cam patch, which has a very particular aroma to it. And he's now going to have a candle.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Fantastic.
Well, you know who his best customers are going to be?
We'll be
putting that's if you like the smell. Order. It's not going to smell off him. I mean, it'll just be a smell that he's created.
Yeah, but how fabulous.
Eau de Ross.
Eau de Ross.
Eau de Ross.
We call it Eau de Ross.
There's the title of the show.
Eau de Bar has a ring to it.
Eau de Bar.
Eau de Bar.
To explain to the listeners, his name was Ross Barr. Acupuncturist extraordinaire moving to Ireland in a year or so. You need some help. So great. Very, very quickly on candles, though, I have to say, Sarah Jane, now, I'm very pro a good candle, but I have my price limit there as well, much like the bags. I'm like, 30 quid is plenty to pay for a candle. So the Jo Malone's, they're 75.
Yeah, I don't want
100. That's wild. I can't believe you will not buy a can opener and you will pay 75 for a Jo Malone candle.
Yeah, because we have a can opener. That's the thing. We have a can opener in his multi-tool. There is a reason we have that multi-tool. When the apocalypse happens,
open the can.
I can open the cans, right? That's what I keep saying. I'm like, okay.
Fair point.
The thing is, things are slow moving in our business, as you know, that we're all entitled to a little bit of luxury. Some person might like the handbag. Some people like the shoes. Some people like the coats and I got rid of all of my passion for clothes, went from like vintage to just nothing. I don't buy clothes anymore. It's just whatever I'm going to be able to roll up, fit in the suitcase and go. And so the candle to me is kind of the only little bit of luxury. And so that's why fair. I feel like, that 70 euro will last me 6 months, and it's not like I'm saving it. I'm just.
You're absolutely right. Like you said, everybody deserves. Yeah.
You win. She wins that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The hair is lovely. The highlights are gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Oh, well, listen, let's go back to the showbiz world. So I have the highlights done for the show. I haven't had my highlights done for ages, years. Another thing I gave up the expense of. And certainly during pandemic times, that was gone because I was doing my own roots, as we all were for a while. So I went in and I said, this is way too blocky now. I'm like one of those old ones that's too dark. Do you know that?
Sure.
You know, you're too dark at a certain age. It's not a good look.
Yes.
So I said, that has to go. Break that up immediately, I said. I did went the lights. But sure, this is the lovely beauty of going in for the last 3 days. Lashes on, tan on, somebody to do my makeup, somebody to get the clothes for me, take them to the tailor, have them altered. And I think I probably get to keep them as well.
Oh even better. Yeah.
These are the perks, aren't they? You deserve it, love.
You do. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're real perks.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like it's a nice reward for having had so many other jobs go by the wayside during the pandemic. It was nice to come back to one that had a budget and, a few perks, as you say, a few perks. So tell me now, I want to ask you what your showbiz perks have been, because God knows, we know all the lows and the pitfalls, but the nice things that have happened to you, can you remember? Were you gifted things?
My perks, really, the majority of them were all, I worked in theatre for years, so.
But there's no perks in theatre.
No perks in theatre. You know, the perks of theatre is that you've got the job, aren't you delighted with yourself? You're so lucky, you get paid every week, and sure, you're just, that's the perk.
Well, though, we did get flowers. I mean, people put in
opening night. Yeah.
You get flowers. But lots of perks when I worked in LA. The whole job was a big perk. Because of the generosity. And they have people who actually deal with the buying of gifts.
There's somebody hired to buy gifts.
And so when I was pregnant, they said, don't worry about the stroller, you know. And they gave me a wad of everything we needed. It was really incredible. And there was just so many things like that that made the job so rewarding, and they make you feel very appreciated, and that was very hard to let go of as well, because you know it's kind
the
of
perks are going as well. Yeah, kind of give up a job like that, you're giving up a lot, aren't you?
Give up
just
so much,
pay, all those lovely
so
perks.
Much like talk about throws and cushions and sofas. Like I had all of those things thanks to like those kind of hand-me-downs. Like
You didn't keep any of them?
No, those were all the things we sold.
You really have Marie Kondo'd your life.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Eva, do you have any land big?
I think when I was sort of at that stage in my career, when I was doing well.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? When you were doing well.
And it's coming around again. It's coming around.
It's coming around again. When there's sort of, I used to go to quite a lot of premieres and film, what do you call them, like awards things, and
film awards.
Film awards. That's it. Sorry. And I used to get, you know, you'd get dressed from they'd send you dresses, which the dresses I always had to give back, but you'd get shoes that you wouldn't send the shoes back because you've worn them. So I had I still have them up in the loft, boxes and boxes of Jimmy Choo's. There's so many Jimmy Choo's.
Wow. Yeah. Eva, if you're not wearing those, amazing. You should sell them.
I should probably sell them, yeah, because I don't wear them. I don't really wear high heels anymore.
Well, that'll be, you said you were going to empty your loft when you're moving. So is that what you're going to find?
Yeah.
Get them out and sell them.
So that was one of the big perks. It's just like, wow, getting all these designer shoes.
Lovely.
There's a couple of pairs that I wore quite a few times, like to weddings and stuff like that. But I really don't wear high heels enough anymore. So I probably should, I probably should sell them.
What size are
you? Funny thing. I'm a 5, love. Would you like some?
So much. I can't wear heels. I can't wear heels anymore.
No,
can't wear
them. Neither can I. No. I'm all about the comfort. I just find them far too uncomfortable.
They're so uncomfortable. How
they're
can
so
you do
uncomfortable.
It?
Oh,
when you find a comfortable heel, buy them in every color.
But isn't it ironic? You know, it's when you have, you know, no money and could do with the freebies and the perks, they're not
they don't
to be
come.
Seen.
They don't come.
They don't come. And it's when things are going great and you're getting paid and, you know, when you don't really need any freebies, that's when the freebies
that's
start
that
to
expression.
Roll in.
Yeah. That's that expression. Them that have, get.
That's true.
That's fabulous, though, Eva. Like a closet full of Jimmy shoes.
Apparently, they're very uncomfortable to wear.
They're very uncomfortable, I have to say.
And the Labutans the same, because I've dreamed of those red heels.
I used to be quite good in heels. I could dance in them.
I used to dance for a whole weekend, like off me face, like wearing, like
not being able to feel anything from the neck down.
Nothing, like honestly.
Once the children arrive, you're running around so much, and you can't run around in a heel, like you just can't.
You can't, no,
not with any speed.
No, but then even now, when you're not, if you don't have to run after the kids, like say if you're going out of a weekend in the evening, I would still choose not to wear a heel. It's just, I just want to be comfortable all the time.
Oh, I'm the same.
I'd still like to think I can, you know, scrub up and look stylish, but I'll be wearing at the very most, you know, a small block heel on my sandal or something, but otherwise I'm just in flats. Yeah.
Well, I have taken to putting a flip-flop in a bag.
Definitely.
You're prepared.
If a heel has to be worn, there's a flat in the bag. without a doubt.
I think that's the smart way to live. Feet walk on the pavements. That's the walk of shame. You can't be doing that. We've all done that now.
We've all done that.
And it's weddings are hard work now, aren't they, for this reason?
I can't remember last time I was at a wedding.
Yeah, well, I haven't been at one for years, but imagine when I am at one.
Yeah, what
do you wear? Well, I do. I can't dance in heels all night. You couldn't be in them and standing and dancing all night.
When was the last time you danced? Because I think if I got onto a dance floor now, no offense to my mother, but I'd probably start. I feel like I've lost my mojo.
Oh, I've totally.
Do you think you could still break out the moves like you used to break out the moves?
I'm not.
There was music last night when we were introduced onto the stage for this telly show. I had the young one, Lyra, who's about to be a huge pop star. You know, she's on her way. She's wonderful. And she was busting out the moves and twerking. I thought, I better keep my distance from her. I better stand right over there. And I couldn't even attempt to do it. I was afraid to move because I thought, you've gotten to that point where you're the fucking mother at the wedding. I can't, like, honestly, the moves are like, they were never amazing anyway. I was never a cool dancer, never. Like, I can move, but I was an Irish dancer, so my hands, like, they you know, I could do anything with my feet. This is the weird thing with me. I have got rhythm and I could do anything with my feet. But this, I was never
top
great.
Half, yeah.
The top half of my body's not dance. Loose.
Yeah. I used to dance so
I
much.
Still love to. When the drink
I'd have
on.
To be drunk. I'd have to be drunk. The same with singing. If I'm drunk, I'll sing and dance to my heart's content.
Well, sure, that's what we need and that's what we'll have.
Yeah, I wouldn't get onto a dance floor sober now. I mean,
no.
I do, and I have done, and I will do. I dance here.
You're an amazing dancer.
But during the week, I can't not dance during the, like, I dance in the kitchen. I dance on Fun Friday with Ellie. He's not a dancer at all. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I have. I put the lights on.
She's a phenomenal dancer.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, she's a brilliant dancer.
You've got the moves.
I just love it, though. I can't not. Like, it's so much part of my life.
I don't actually know how you weren't a dancer professionally. I mean, you have a dancer's body. Everything about you says to me, dancer, you look like a ballerina. You do.
Like, don't undermine yourself, Mrs. I saw you on that show. So don't be thinking that you're not that great. Phenomenal dancer. And, like, you were incredible in that.
Well,
you were incredible.
I think there was a few dances that I did really well, like maybe three out of the whole thing where I did very well. Like, I can dance. Like, I told you, like, I had the biggest thing about dance is, have you got rhythm, number one? So some people arrive in that show and you can see that they don't have rhythm and it's a struggle. So that's like the real basics. Okay, so I have that. And I was a champion Irish dancer when I was a kid. So I can move my feet fast. But for me, doing those moves with my arms was torture. I mean, this is what I was used to, you know, just move my feet. But anyway, look, I did do well, but I was a broken woman.
Yeah,
you know, I told you, didn't I, the state I was in. Did I tell you, Eva?
Yeah.
Well, I won't repeat myself then. But by at the end, I mean, the point was, I turned 50 on the day of the final. And like the others, the young ones around me were, they were fine. They were well able. I was having, I told you, injections into my ribs. I had injections into my calves. Physiotherapy. I was held together with sellotape. But yeah, no, it was grueling. I was broken. And by the very end, like, because obviously it got harder as you went along. So when I started, I was sort of, I had a bit of confidence and I thought, I think I could do okay in this. And then as it went along, they push you harder and harder to do more and more. And so there's lifts and you've been thrown in the air. And I'm 49, about to be 50. And like when they catch you, when you do a lift in the air and they do to be catched, if you hit your ribs, which you do, you can't breathe. Not like you can't bear to do it again. So they go, no, we have to do it again. You go, oh, no, I can't. Like, I've bruised my ribs. I can't breathe. Well, you're just going to have to breathe through it and you have to do it, sort of thing. It's insane. And you kind of do. You're just under so much pressure to deliver that you sort of, you go there, you know. But I have to say, for me, I was so far out of my comfort zone that I found the whole experience a kind of exhilarating and traumatizing, somewhere in between those two things. Have you ever felt that emotion? It's like, I could do this. Oh, no, I can't. I really struggled. And, you know, ironically, the thing that I struggled the most with was the facial expressions, giving the emotion on my face. And that's weird because my background is being an actor. And for some reason, I couldn't marry the two within this art form, giving the emotion on my face. And when I try to do it for you now, I can do it with ease. In other words, if I was an actor playing a dancer, I could do it. I could do all of that. But being the dancer, I couldn't. I struggled. It was a weird block, mental block that I couldn't shift. It was one of the weirdest.
So what was your face doing?
But I think what it was is that grimacing. I had this fear. Maybe it's that I have this deep... What did you say?
Grimacing. I can just imagine. Grimacing, going, oh. Yeah.
Well, the dreadful thing is, as well, is you have to watch yourself back. They make you watch it back. Yeah. So when you do the dress rehearsal the day before, they will make you look at it back. And you think that you're good. And when you watch yourself back, I can tell you that is some big come down. You go, oh my God, I am fucking dreadful. Oh. I am dreadful. I thought I was great. I thought that looked great, that twirl. And you just realize it's nothing. So you've got to find your comfort zone somewhere in it. And it took me ages to get there. I think I kind of did.
You did.
Towards the end.
You did. You were incredible. Those last routines were extraordinary. I remember like my favorite two, like was the Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers.
That was very within my comfort zone, right? Sure. Because that was old Hollywood, not a lot of sort of jazzy hands. I kind of was able to go into that zone easily.
That was gorgeous. And also, of course, and that this is where you did bring your acting skills into play was the Cranberries.
Okay, that was my favorite. Yeah.
It was just phenomenal. Like, it was just so moving. I was in tears. I think everyone was in tears. But it was, I mean, not simply because Dolores had just passed away, but it was your interpretation of it. You could see that you were so present, and that was very moving. And it was beautiful. The dance itself was incredible. But
well, you know what? The reason that was my favorite was that was contemporary dance, which is much closer to what we do, right? Yeah. It's much closer to being an actor. Like, we've all done a certain amount of body work. You know, you have to move. And expressing yourself with that, I found like, okay, I know how to do this. This is just a kind of a dramatization on the floor. I think I can do that. The others are an absolute discipline, like ballroom and Latin dance. So difficult, as you know, even from trying to do the bit of rumba or whatever. It's just so bloody
Cuba.
Hard.
Cuba.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you who I got to dance with, because the reason why we're doing this film was one of the other leads in the film was Carlos Acosta. Do you know who Carlos Acosta is?
I do know that name. Yes,
he's like a really famous ballerina because he was the first Cuban male ballerina ever.
Now, can I just stop you and ask you what film you're talking about?
It was called Day of the Flowers.
Okay.
Mediocre film, but I did get to dance with a world-class ballerina, and he was doing I wasn't doing ballet with him, he was, but we did some sort of dance moves in a nightclub. My character, fortunately, was an atrocious dancer, because I consider myself a mediocre, you know, I have rhythm, but when you're paired with somebody, as you know, Dee, who is exceptional at what they do, you just look like a complete moron.
What kind of dance did you do with him?
It was kind of Cuban dancing, I suppose. And he sort of improvised and taught me a few steps. And there was a live band, and we did like a bit of a... But my character is just basically, he just like whips me around the dance floor when I'm desperately trying to keep up. So I'm supposed to look like I'm really, really out of my depth. But I really was out of my depth.
Yeah, so that was easy.
Yeah, so he was doing all this sexy, you know... gyrating moves. And
isn't it amazing what they can do with you? Like, they can literally throw you around. I mean there were times that John just threw me around. I was his plaything that he just twisted like around, doll. Threw up in the air and did that like a spinning top. I'm doing this to you now, and I'm doing that to you, and then I'm lifting you, and then I'm spinning you. And I was like, okay, John, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't know which way up or around you are. Yeah,
but did you find it a little bit humiliating? Did you feel?
Oh yeah. Oh. I mean, I looked like just a bit like an old cloth in his hand that he was like shaking around the room. I was like a rag. I was just, I couldn't keep up. It was, and it worked perfectly for the scene. But I just, it's, yeah, you feel like a bit of an outie.
It's not a nice feeling though, sure it's not. I felt quite humiliated at times doing the dancing. And I guess that comes from, for us, right, going on stage, not doing something you're good at in front of people is like my idea of hell on earth. It's like, yeah, none of us would go on stage or put ourselves on film without being prepared. And we're good. Like, we know what we're doing. It's our profession. So to suddenly be landed in a dance show. Now, I put myself in that position, but what I didn't expect was to feel so far out of my comfort zone that I was like mortified. And I guess what I didn't take into account was that there would be a new dance every single week. So as soon as you perfected one, you are back at scratch for the next. And I am very glad I did it. It gave me a lot. You know, I just have to say, in case, you know, there are people who are part of that show, you know, I don't want it to sound like it was an entirely negative experience. It wasn't. There were some wonderful things within it, and it served me very well. It really helped me to go on tour and do what I do well. It was great. But Jesus, what a roller
coaster. But it's also what makes for really exciting, but it makes for really exciting television, doesn't it? Because the audience at home also know that those people are out of their comfort zone and it's live telly. And they're feeding off that pressure and exhilaration. That's what makes for good telly. Did you see your family much during those 12 weeks? I'm thinking like all the hours that are spent in the studios.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to tell you. That my green, the naivety, because what they say in your contract is you must spend 4 hours a day in training and dancing. This is just so funny because like I thought naively, do you know what I'll do? I'll dance in the morning. I'll go in and I'll do my 4 hours in the morning. And then I'll go home and I'll write because I was writing my next stand-up show. So I'll go home and I'll write for the afternoon hours. That was knocked on the head very fast because I achieved nothing in 4 hours. Literally nothing. And it was like, yeah, no, 4 hours won't work, love. So I did the first week where I did like 4 hours for the first dance, and you know, we had 3 weeks of rehearsal before the live show. So in the first week I did 4 hours. That was like, okay, forget it. So I went to John. I said, okay, so 4 hours is clearly not going to work. And John said, no, you need to do minimum six. So I moved to six fairly, fairly quickly. And by week three, I was doing eight. And by the end, I was doing 8 to 10 hours. By the time I got to semi-final, I was doing 8 to 10 hours a day. And we were dancing 7 days a week. And on show days, like on rehearsal days and show days, you did the dance at full pelt 3 times in that day because they needed a technical rehearsal for the cameras. They needed a dress rehearsal for the producers. And you were expected to give it. Now, John would sort of say to me, look, you can hold back on your energy. Don't give it full throttle. But actually, you can't give it full throttle because there's lifts and momentum. And if you don't do it, you could kind of hurt yourself. So I was broken. I can't tell you. I couldn't move. I crawled into my bed. So to answer your question about family, by the halfway mark, by week six, so there was 12 weeks in total, by week six up to 12, I saw very little of them. So I'd see them, I'd kind of try to do the school run. So I'd do the morning. So I would get breakfast and make their lunches and see them in the morning and make sure I got them out the door. But very often they were gone to bed by the time I got back. But most before the end, I tried to get back for dinner. Like I tried to get back for seven, but that just went. Once we got to week eight, nine, ten, they was gone. They didn't see me. They just saw me in the morning. Yeah. But what was good though was they knew what I was doing and they were watching me on the telly that Sunday night. Sure, so it wasn't like being off filming. Yeah, the reward was they knew what I was doing. Holly came to the show every Sunday. She was hooked and she loved coming to the studio and watching. She was there every week. And then Dan watched it on the telly with Steve and was live. So like, they knew they were watching me live. Do you know what I mean?
They were very involved in their way. Yeah.
And in a way, they got immediate gratification
for the many hours that you were not with them during the week. This is what I have been doing.
Yeah, but forgive also me. Totally. Yes, they could see what I was working towards. But the other thing was they were both in primary school and everyone in their class was watching. So the whole school was voting for me, like the whole. Oh, yeah. The show is massive. It's a massive family show. So absolutely everybody was watching it. Yeah. I'd never really experienced that before. You know, I've been used to doing stuff and being in the public eye for years, but this was on a whole other level. Like it was just wild. But I'll finish by telling you about the final. I woke up on the day of the final, turned 50 that day, and I couldn't move in the bed, right? I was like, I can only imagine like a car crash victim or any bad accident where you just can't move. I was so stiff. Every muscle ached so badly that I just went, okay, I actually don't think I can get out of the bed. I actually can't move. I was trying to like lift my leg to get out of the bed. And Steve was beside me now. And as you both know, Steve had come through at this day, by the way, when I started this job, Steve was just through all of his cancer treatment. He had just come to the end of it. So he was recovered. He wasn't having any treatment. And he was, for that time, as we knew, thought clear, but he wasn't back at full health. He wasn't back at full strength, like, and he was doing it all. He was minding the kids. He wasn't doing any major work, but we were renovating our new house, which he was across. Oh, Jesus, God love him. When I think of it, because we were meant to do that together, but instead I was going, sorry, I have to do a samba. I can't be here. Uh-huh. Sorry about that. Do you want to choose these tiles? I mean, this house that I'm living in, literally, when I moved into it, I went, who picked those tiles? And Steve would go, you did. You were doing a tango that week. I was like, yeah, the metro tile, white. White. Paint everything white. Paint everything white. We'll add colour later. Just white. Antique white. Not bright white. And the metro tile. That'll be fine. And now I look at things and I go, fuck! I would have put different fucking tiles in the bathroom. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I'm backing on the not moving bit in the bed. I said to Steve, I cannot move. And I said to him, jokingly, have you got any of those drugs left? What drugs have you got left from the dark days? Because he would have had a few drugs, uppers and downers and all the rest of it. So he went to the drawer at the side of the bed and said, I have a few diazepams, which will knock you out, and oxy this and oxy that. There's a few steroids here. At which point I thought, steroids, that's what I need. And I was doing my final dance was to the show dance, as they call it. I was dancing to Robbie Williams, Let Me Entertain You. And I thought, now Robbie would have been very prone to a steroid in his time. So this could be very fitting. This could be very fitting. So Steve gave me two steroids and I took one in the morning and I took one in the late afternoon. And that is how I got through that final on steroids. That's what it took. And I can tell you something, the day after that final, I did not move out of my bed for 4 days.
Broken.
Broken woman. I was twice the combined ages of my fellow finalists. Jake was 19 and Anna was 28, I think, or something. My two fellow finalists, and they were fine and they were loving life. I mean, Anna's an athlete. She's a pro camogie player, athlete, fit as you can't believe. And Jake is 19 and in the gym every day. Yeah. And Muggins was on steroids.
But didn't you do great to get as far as you did in the show? Extraordinary.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, you know what? Like, you wouldn't go into a thing if you didn't. I wouldn't have gone into it if I didn't think I was going to make a show of myself. But I wasn't thinking final, but probably subconsciously I was. I was thinking sort of quarterfinal, semifinals would be respectable, and anything less than that wouldn't be respectable. It was probably what I was thinking. So I did push myself. So there you go. So when you're asked, you now know what it's like.
When we're asked,
I have no doubt you'll be asked at some point.
Not at all. We'll just say no.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's episode, which was called Au Dubar. If you're a new listener, welcome. And if you've been listening to us for a while, thank you for sticking around. Thank you to all of you that have left us a review and some 5-star ratings. And to all our new listeners, if you haven't done so already, please follow us on Spotify or subscribe on Apple. It doesn't cost a thing, and it really, really helps keep our show going.
This podcast is powered by the Acast Creator Network.